If you have your Bibles this morning, turn to the book of Galatians, chapter 6. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 6, start with verse 7. Praise the Lord. It says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." Don't stop there. "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Amen. "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." Amen. Faint not. If I can just talk to you this morning about that, about fainting not. You know, it says, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Amen. You know, just sometimes you're walking in this life and you come to this place. You come to this place. You say, "What's the use?" You throw up your hands, turn around, and walk off. And I can tell you a lot of times that you're only 2 steps or 3 steps or 15 minutes away from a breakthrough, what God had planned, but you gave up, or I gave up too quickly. He says, God's not mocked. Those wicked that sow to the flesh, they will reap destruction. They'll reap it. I mean, they sow to the flesh, they will reap it. You may look at the Donald Trumps of this world, and you may look at them and say, "They're prospering. They've sowed to the flesh and they're prospering." No, just keep walking. Keep walking. If the Donald Trumps and the Obamas of this world don't repent, they'll find their face. They'll find themselves face to face with a holy, almighty God, and they'll find themselves naked before Him with whom we have to do. Amen? That's what the Bible says. But just keep on walking. But if you continue, if you sow to that Spirit, you keep going on. Amen. Sometimes we say, "What's the use?" Well, I can tell you what the use is. You just keep walking, because there is an end to this road, and it's called heaven. Amen. It's called eternity. It's called God Himself in us. Amen. Now, the book of Hebrews, and we're going to go to chapter 10, verse 35. "Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward." In other words, there's going to be a compensation. There's going to be a payday. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while." You know, I don't do this very often, but could you say this words, "little while," with me? Little while. Well, God's little while and our little while, sometimes the big distance between the two. Amen. You know, a little while to me means, you know, not over 10, 15 minutes at the max. I'll be over there in a little while. I need a jump start at Walmart parking lot. I'll be there in a little while. If you're not there in 15 minutes, I'm calling somebody else. But God's little while and my little while is two different things. His little while could mean few years. It could mean a lifetime of walking faithfully with Him. Amen. He said, "You have need of patience," not just you, but me, "after we've done the will of God," after you've done. "For you have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God." A lot of times we want the reward before we've done the will of God, right? Come on now. We want God to bless us before we put the tithe check in the box. Why isn't God blessing? He said, "Just keep being faithful to me, and I, in a little while, the reward will come." You have need of patience. Just keep standing. Not just about tithe, about anything. He said, "Do the will of God. Do what I tell you to do. Love your neighbor. And those that hate you and despitefully use you, love them. Pour out the blessings of God on them. And just keep doing what I told you to do. The will of God. Be patient and long-suffering." And he said, "Just keep doing the will of God. And in a little while, you'll receive that reward." He says, "You've done the will of God. You might receive for yet a little while. And for he shall come. For he that shall come will come and will not tarry." It just doesn't mean the rapture doesn't mean Christ coming again. That means he's going to show up in our life. How many need God to show up in some area? Some area. Some area. You know, I've seen it in my own life. I've prayed for people. And I've prayed God to deal, to touch a lost loved one. You know what I'm talking about. Just somebody in your life that's dear. And so you've prayed for them. I've prayed for them. We beg God to deal with their hearts, deal with their life. And then all of a sudden, we see their life going down the drain, right? And then we get upset because all of a sudden, we don't want God to treat them like that. But God's saying, now listen, what's more important? Their eternal soul or their prosperity here on earth, right? He's saying, what's more important? You want me to save them? You know, it's kind of like we ask God to save someone, to deal with their life. Have you ever prayed the prayer? Maybe you haven't, but God, do whatever it takes to save them. Well, that whatever it takes means whatever it takes. That means it may take a deep hole and a long rope to get their attention. Kind of like that dog that lives his whole life with a rope around his neck or a chain, right? He lives in, 30-foot radius his whole life. He's good. Mama, daddy throws some bones out there. Master throws a bone. He's eating. He's happy, And every once in a while he gets to that end of the chain. He feels it there, and he's all of that. But one day he's out there by that peg, and he sees a cat. Well, them cats are pretty sly. That cat's about 2 foot shy of where that dog can come. And that dog takes off, and he takes off with all of his heart. And he reaches the end of that chain. What happens? It snaps him like a whip, man. It flips him over. What happened? He come to the end of his rope. We pray for people. We pray for people. Their life is okay. We don't see nothing messing up. They just living in that little circle. Nothing's taking place. We don't think God's working. And God allows the spiritual cat, if you will, to get on the end just a few feet past there. And all of a sudden, they take off, and their life goes down the tube, and they're snapped. They come to the end of their rope, and their life is messed up. We're going, oh, God, please, please. He goes, I'm saving their life. Just let me finish what I've started. For in a little while. Amen. How many ever had to come? I had to come. It's called sin sick. It's called the end of our rope. We've come to the end of ourself. Amen. We come finally to the end. Like that song says, who am I? We come to understand there wasn't nothing, man. I tried in my own strength, tried like Brother Mike said this morning, in my own strength to get there, to do it, everything. And finally come to the end of this thing. God save me. Amen. He says, for a little while, and he that shall come will come. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of those, of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Amen. He says, the just shall live by faith. He'll never, until that day we see him face to face, he'll never take away the element of faith. It's going to be a walk of faith. It has to be. There's a struggle in this thing. There has to be this thing inside of us. We have to stand upon the word of God. We have to. There's going to be a constant God dealing. God's dealing with our lives and the word of God. There's going to be this element of faith where we have to walk it out when we don't see a result. Have to. You have to walk it out. You have to just keep walking. God said to do, and so you just keep going. You don't see it. It's invisible. But he that is invisible, will deal with everything. Amen? He, praise God, for the things that are invisible, take care of those things that are visible, this book says. They were created by that which is invisible. Amen. If I need a job, I'm believing God, but I've got to do what God says to do to get a better job. I've got to be faithful in what he's got me. Amen. I got to be faithful. I know I'm talking a lot about a physical thing, but those physical things pour out in the spiritual world. I promise you that. It pours out in the spiritual world. If you don't take care of what God gives you physically, I can promise you, you don't take care of what God gives you spiritually. If you don't, you might be driving a rusted out piece of junk I mean, four different brands of tires and different sizes on every corner. Come on. Different color fender on each one. But I mean, you get in that thing, you thank God for it, and just take care of it. Oh, don't worry about it. It's this piece of junk anyway. Well, sometimes I feel that way about things in my life, but I can tell you, you got to get up from that and say, I thank God for this. Hallelujah. And you treat it like a Cadillac. Now, you might not take it to the $25 car wash. I can understand that. But you take care of what God give you, and if you keep being faithful and keep being diligent, God will move you from that rusted out piece of junk into something you can drive across the country. How do I know? I see it work every time. Every time. You know, I've told this story. A wealthy man asked. He's the boss in this company. He had a great big company. A wealthy man asked this woman, he said, would you sleep with me for $50,000? She was a co-worker. Without hesitation, she said yes. He said, would you sleep with me for $10,000? She thought about it. She said, yeah, I will. How about $50? She turned around, slapped him in the face, said, who? What kind of woman do you think I am? He said, well, I already figured that out back there. I'm just haggling on price now. There's a lot of Christians come to God. He saves them. They don't have two dimes to rub together. He gives them $200. They don't have no problem putting that $20 in the till or in that box, in that offering. They have no problem. He blesses their life. They keep walking. He gives them a better job. And he blesses them with $2,000. They write the $200 check or cash. They have no problem. Put it in the offering bucket. But then he blesses them with $20,000 and they can't give the $2,000. You know why? Because they had a price. And the devil found where they'll sell out. Oh, I'll do the $2,000. What would happen if God would put $2 million in your hands? Could you bring that $200,000 to the house of God and put it in there without hesitation? Or would there be a price? I know we're just talking about a physical thing, but we're talking about things that boil down into the spiritual side of things. He says, God is not mocked. And God is going to test us. He's going to allow the things of life to try us. Why? Because it's a walk of faith. I can talk about healing all that I want, Brother Nick, but if I'd never been healed, then all it is a bunch of words. I can preach it. I can tell somebody else's story. I can get excited. But I can tell you, when I've been sick and I felt the hand of God come down on the top of me and heal this sick body, I can stand up and preach it and walk it because I've tasted that he is good. Hallelujah. Now let's go on over to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. It says, therefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto who? Oh, man, if we'd remember that. We're not looking at some great preacher. We're not looking at somebody that's got it going on. We're not looking at the government. We're looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Don't stop there. For consider him, Jesus, that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be weary and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. For ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as children, as unto children, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Go back unto looking unto Jesus. For he said, now I want you, let's look at the life of Christ. Let's look at what he endured. Now, Wednesday night I spoke about Jesus and spitting everything, all of what he did and what he went through. Now you look, he's the Son of God. He's the Son of Man. There's scriptures that tells us in the book of Romans, chapter 3, I believe, right there. Romans 11, 33 to 36. By him, for him, through him, all things were made, consist, everything, by him. I mean, there's four different verses. You have John, for in the beginning was the word was God, word was with God, nothing was made but by him. Colossians chapter 1, verse 17, same thing. Everything exists and consists by him. Hebrews 1, verse 3, I believe it. All things are held together, upholds all things by the word of his power. We're talking about the Lord God Almighty. We're talking about the one who spoke and light came forth. We're talking about he who holds the planet, the sun, moon, and stars, the universe in the palm of his hand. We're talking about the one that says in Isaiah that the nations are but a drop in the bucket, and he laughs at them when they think that they're going to do something against the Almighty. This one is the one that come and went to the cross. And it says, look at him. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. We just read that without faith, it's impossible. That just shall live by faith. And so those that live by faith will continue on. Amen? And he's the author and the finisher of that. That's not a different faith. That's the same faith he's talking about. He says, look at him. He endured for the joy set before him. What joy? The slapping and the beating and the spitting and the plucking and the stabbing? No, the joy was the joy. It wasn't even him seated at the right hand of God the Father. The joy that was set before him when he saw the church that he redeemed. That's the apple of his eye. When he saw the church, amen. When he saw his bride, when he saw his wife, amen. There's nothing that gets the attention of God Almighty more than his wife-to-be. We just living in a country don't take care of husband and wife. I understand that. We don't care about marriage anymore. We'd rather live with them than marry them, right? Come on now. But I'm telling you that when God set it up, marriage, husband and wife, there was something. And there was a courting, praise God, going on. There was something special. Nothing come between that man and that woman. He'd go to sleep on the pillow, dreaming about her. He'd wake up dreaming about her. One day, he's going to go to sleep looking at her because they're married. Now, some of you might say, well, all I think I'm dreaming about the day I can get away for a while. No, that's not how the Lord sees it. For the joy set before him, that wife-to-be, what did he do? He endured. Set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Wow. Talk about someone that can endure. I want to go over to Psalms real quickly. Psalms, still talking about the Lord. I believe it's Psalms 91, verse 11. Psalms 91, verse 11, 12, and 13. We'll read there. For he shall give his angels charge over thee and keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. He's talking about the Lord. He says, the angels, in other words, he give his angels. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. And he's in the garden and they come to get Christ. And they betrayed him with a kiss. Judas did. And verse 53. And at this time there's a sword. They're going to fight. They're all this stuff. And Jesus says, verse 53 or 26 of Matthew, thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels. At any moment, this Christ, at any moment, could have called on more than 10,000 angels to fight on his behalf. Oh, if we had that power, the angels would be wore out, right? They'd just be wore out. I mean, they would be wore out because we'd dispatch them, we'd charge them to take care of our business. But when Jesus is being spit upon, he's being smote, they pluck his beard, they blindfold him, say, prophesy, who hit you? All of this, when they're mocking him and making fun of him at any moment. But he was, now listen, when you think about that, think about just in your mind's eye. I know it's not good to uncover, but think about your worst day as a sinner. Your worst moment as a sinner. Christ saw that when he was getting spit upon, dying on that cross. And he did not call on 10,000 angels to come and free him. He endured the cross because he saw that that worst day of that sinner, the end result was the redeemed. The end result was the redeemed. See, that enemy comes, that devil, to steal, kill, and destroy everything. I mean, he'll put his foot on your neck when you're a sinner. Then when you're saved, he'll kick you around and tell you ain't worthy to be saved. All of that garbage. Just get into the Word of God, and I'll just say right here, devil, he could have called 10,000 angels at any moment when in my worst day as a sinner, but he didn't, because he loved me. Because he loved me. And because he loved me, this book tells me I can love him. I can love him. Not in my own strength, but because he loved me, I can love him. Would he endure? He endured it, man. He endured it till that promise came. That father told him. He said, and I believe it's Psalms 2 and 8. Ask of me, and I'll give you the heathen for thine inheritance and the othermost part of the earth for thy possession. Ask of me. That's what he said. Ask of me, my son. And what did it mean for Jesus to ask? It mean for him to ask for that. He's asking God for something. For him to ask mean he had to go to that cross and die. To get that promise. To get the answer to what. Ask of me. Ask of me, the heathen. Ask of me for Nick. Ask of me for Gary. Ask of me. You know, I need to mention everybody just so everybody knows that they once were a sinner. Ask of me. Put your name in there, and I'll give them to you. But to get the result, the promise, he had to die. So he endured the cross, despising the shame, knowing that the joy that was set before him were you and I seated with him in heavenly places. Because I promise you, he's seated there in Ephesians chapter 1. But Ephesians chapter 2 tells me that the church is seated with him also. We're heading there. We're heading there. Seated with Christ simply means when you get into the book of Revelation, you'll see that we rule and reign with him. Hallelujah. We're not a hired servant. We're not his right-hand man. We're his bride, his wife, there seated with him on that throne of authority. He endured it, despised it, but endured it for the joy set before him. And now, I read in Romans chapter 8, if you can. Romans chapter 8. Verse 18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. The glory, that glory is that time when we're seated with him, when it becomes a reality. Oh, it's a promise now, but when it becomes a reality. So the things that we go through as Christians, you know, that somebody, you know, well, this woman that I'm attached to, this is my wife, this is a cross that I bear. No, that's not the cross that you bear. This man that God give me, this is the cross that I must bear. That is not the suffering that he's talking about. He's talking about those things. That enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He don't have no problem with the sinner. He's already stole and killed and destroyed. They're going to hell. He's not sitting in the bar room. I can tell you he's sitting in the church. He's sitting in your front seat. He's sitting at home trying to get in to your heart, your mind, your life, everything, trying to get into every area. He's just busting. He's trying to get in. And the things that we go through, the suffering, the persecution, all there is physical persecution, I promise you, if we hang around much longer, it's probably coming here. Not just in North Korea, not just in Vietnam, not just in China, but coming here. But there's still that squeezing, that mind-wrenching, that devil comes to steal, kill, the suffering. You want to give up. You want to throw in the towel. It's not worth it. I've given my all, and this is what happens. It don't matter. No, keep walking. Faith, the just shall live by faith. In a little while, in a little while. We got a song on the radio. Just remember that little while. Could be a long time. David was anointed king after he killed Goliath. Saul was a backslidden first king of Israel. David's anointed king. Anointed king. When you get to the book of Acts, you'll hear the man of God saying, he says in the book of Acts, that I want to read this just to show you what the word says. In Acts chapter 13, verse 21, it just says this. Here's the verse. It says, "And afterward they desired a king, and God gave unto them Saul, the son of Cis, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years." So he's saying that for 40 years, Saul reigned. That's what it says here. Now, if you're a theologian, you can figure out something different. That's what it says here. Now, let's in 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, you'll see that Saul was that king. And he backslid, was in a backslidden state. And so when he backslid against the Lord, David was anointed king. And he was anointed king. I believe it was chapters 1 Samuel. A new king is anointed in chapter 16 of 1 Samuel. And for the next 15 chapters, give or take around 20 years worth or more, or less, just give or take, but just say probably around 20 years, he's running from Saul, hiding out in a cave. Finally, he goes over into a foreign land, acts like a crazy man. They leave him alone. He's foaming at, he acts like some guy foaming at the mouth. And finally said, "Get him out of here. Find him a place down in a valley away from me," the king said. King of Gath. For 20 years, this man endured. David, he already had the oil poured on him. He was anointed as king. And then after much trial, much times to give up, even had an opportunity to take the life of the enemy that was chasing him, but he didn't. After much trial and mind-wrenching time to give up, have you ever been depressed or fought something and you ran to the Bible and you open up the Psalms? And the Psalms bring something. Well, David didn't write them all, but he wrote a big chunk of them. And most of that come out of this running, that time of Saul. You read it, "God, why is thou? Then why art thou downcast my soul?" Trust in God, believe in God. All of that come out of these years of running and hiding and giving up and going to another country and on and on and on and on. But finally, that day came, they anointed him as king. And Christ come out of his lineage, right? That's what it says. Oh, hallelujah. God says, endurance. Just keep going for in a little while. Just remember, be not weary in well-doing, for in due time you will reap if you faint not. I want to read that scripture. Started out in Galatians 6. I want to read it again. "For let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." It is worth it. It is worth it. Keep standing. Keep believing. Keep praying. Keep giving. Keep loving. Keep praying. Keep forgiving. Keep loving. Keep walking. Amen. Just keep going. I don't understand. You don't have to understand. I don't either. Amen. There's a lot of questions that I want to ask God, but I can promise you when I cross that threshold, all them questions will be answered. The list will be gone. Like, I've this is number 2,500 question. I'm going to ask God when I get there. Well, when we get there, it'll all be answered. Yeah, it won't matter. It's when we cross that threshold, all we're going to say, oh, it was worth it all. It was worth it all. Amen. It was worth it all. What am I saying this morning? I'm saying, don't give up. Don't give up. Look past it. Look past it. Say, I can't look. Yeah, you got to ask God to give you an eye to see past that. He was going to that cross. He could have called 10,000 angels. He could have charged them to stop them and destroy all the soldiers. Everyone that hated him, he could have consumed them with fire in a heartbeat. But for the joy set before him, seated at the right hand with his wife, the bride, the apple of his eye. I can promise you that this morning, that if you'll just keep walking, in due season you shall reap. We shall reap if we faint not. That comes, it works in every area of our life. Be faithful. The Bible says, despise not the day of small beginnings. The small beginnings. We get so frustrated because it's so small and it seems like it stayed so small. And so we judge everything according to its size nowadays. And so if we would have done that, Christ would have been a failure. He had 11, he had 12, one was a devil. He had 12 disciples, one of them's going to betray him with a kiss. One of them. In the eyes of the church nowadays, that had been a failure. 12. He only needed 11. He only needed a few to change a world. Amen. He doesn't need all. He just needs you in that house to keep going. He just needs you in this church to keep walking, being faithful. He just needs this little church to keep walking forward, keep having church, keep loving on one another. Those that come in the door, just love on them. Amen. Just everything. He just needs us to continue to just be faithful. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. We shall. We'll taste of that good city. Amen. Amen. Let's stand.